Exclusive. Yo, 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 yo. It's your boy DJ Tony Tone with Exclusive Talk Radio. And man, we have a special guest in the building on today. Coming from his side of town, we like to definitely welcome Mr. Alan Thornton. Alan Thornton, businessman, moguls, CEO, boss man of Houston. I like to call him myself. How are you feeling today?
Man, I'm good. I was just wondering who you were talking about.
Man, I definitely wanted to get into it. Mr. Alan Thornton.
Yeah.
What's some of the type of work you do?
So that depends what work needs to be done. Right? So like anything that, since I was a kid, anything that could generate revenue, we find a way to make it happen. Even if it's not us, you know, we partner with somebody to make that happen. So that's what I'm saying. Like people ask, hey, what do you sell? And I say, what needs to be sold?
So just the mindset of hustle, I would say a real hustler, true hustler, entrepreneurial spirit there.
Absolutely.
And don't have all the eggs in just in one basket.
Yeah.
I mean, that portfolio.
Yeah, man. Cause you know, it can get you, it's a balance, right? Because if you focus on too many things, you focus on nothing, but that's where you learn what partnerships come into play. And even if you don't have something in your bag, one of your boys do, and you can, or your girls do, and you can put somebody else on.
When you say that to me is, you know, you're connected.
Yeah.
You're making those connections, and not just making those connections, but you're creating.
Absolutely.
Revenue, relationships, financial freedom.
Absolutely.
How do you decide, okay, I know you say the guys and some girls, but how do you decide, okay, this is a partnership or a venture, joint venture that I can see myself benefiting from as well as being a benefit to?
Yeah, so the big thing with me is making sure it's aligned with what I'm doing overall. So our company is Money for Your Mission, Inc. So anything that aligns with driving money and impact in the same place, we want to work on. And then there's a lot of people that know how to do one but not the other, and they're missing that one piece, and we help them out and develop a partnership because they didn't have the other piece. So it's just an ongoing thing.
Where did that mindset come from? You know what, I'm gonna be a boss, I'm not doing no 9-to-5s.
Okay. So it came from early age. So I'll give you a little bit about my background. So you could probably hear it, my accent is a little different, right? So my mom's side of the family's from the Bronx.
Okay.
My dad's side of the family's from New Orleans. So you got two different hustler type of mentality.
Man, straight right? out the grind, for real.
Exactly, man. And I grew up an Army brat, and I went to school, and I actually grew up in Fort Bliss, Texas.
Okay.
If you don't know where that's at, that's right next to El Paso, Texas. And the mindset of a lot of the people coming in there, they're on their grind, man. Because a lot of times the military is your best or only option at that time.
Best or only option.
Best or only option.
And you're not in the military. You're just a product of that base.
So I was actually going to go into the military after high school.
Okay.
Believe it or not, well, you don't see it today, but you usually see me in suits. I was labeled an at-risk youth, right? So
you were the one getting in fights in middle school.
So no. I was the one selling the fights, right? So I was, that was too much work for me, right? But there was a lot of things, like a lot of my boys were wild. Like where I grew up, it was wild, man. Mm. Like I remember I saw my first murder when I was 16, and I was promoting over in Water. One of the guys, and being on the border, there's a lot of things that you see and you grow up real quick. One, the drinking age is whatever you want it to be, as long as you can see over the bar, right?
Whoa.
They're gonna serve you. So we started promoting over there, and just long story short, not to get on a tangent, somebody lost a load a large load, right? Because there was always, as we were promoting clubs, the cartel said, hey, you know, we see, you know, a lot of people.
This is a market that we can tap in.
Just drive this truck over, and a couple of my boys did it, and a few of them made a lot of money. But, you know, talk about $20,000, $30,000 when you're in high school, like off jump, that's a lot of money. One of the guys, he lost a load, and he came back, and he thought he was the king. He's invincible. I'm like, man, you either need to disappear or you need to, you know, work something out. He's like, ah, man, I got. So one day we were coming out the club, and I was like 16, 17. I was with my boy Tony, and the cops, people get in fights all the time, right?
Right.
So that wasn't any big deal. But this one time, like, the cops were getting like really aggressive, and we were about to step in, and my boy said, nah, he said in Spanish, right? It's not about that. And they hit him with a mag light, and they beat him to death with flashlights.
The officers.
But the
payroll.
They paid, yeah. Yeah. So I learned real quick, you know, that game's not for me. that was too gangster for me. So
that shaped the mindset of, nah, you know, man. What? Nah, I'm...
So started selling CD. We had a CD empire. I'm talking CD empire before
the burners and the big stacks and whatnot.
So when we were in
Trendsetter.
Yeah, when we were in eighth grade, there was so many different ways to make money, but CDs before it was expensive. So this is like in 98. No, that was sixth grade. So it was like 99, because I was going to my eighth grade year. And I asked my mom, hey, mom, can you buy me a burner? She's like, no. And I said, I'll pay you, buy it for me for Christmas. I'll pay you back.
Yes, mama for it.
I asked mama for it. And she got it for me. My parents got it for me and made my money like within a month. I would burn 20, 30, 40 CDs. We had so much money coming in. My mom was like, what's going on? I bought my first car with CDs.
You said, forget the candy. I'm going straight to CDs.
we had 3-4 schools. We had a whole distribution channel. It was crazy. And we used to go in, and this is stupid now that you look at it, but we used to go, you remember FYE?
No.
The record store, it was the big record store. We used to go, 4 of us in there, see what people are buying, and just holler at them and be like, hey, man.
We got it.
Yeah. You going to buy one CD. Look, let me get you 3 CDs for the price of one. I'll let you listen to it. And if it doesn't work, I'll get you another one. And we started building a clientele. Right. And they would come to us. And then at one point, the record store was empty, man, because they all be outside. And my mom was like, no. We're going to stop this because it's not illegal, but it's illegal. So you don't need to be.
You don't want to be that target on your back. From people that's losing that money on the other side.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So that was our first like major hustle, man. And then after that, we got into when I was in college, we got into real estate. I read the book. I was blessed. Somebody gave me the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right before I graduated high school. And I was like, okay, real estate really interested me because that's where I really learned about passive income, right? Because if you're just working a 9-to-5, you'll never get ahead. Mm-hmm. You can have a high paying job, but even if you get sick, that you're done with your job, you're done.
Yeah.
Right? So real estate really interested me, and I got in the circle of some pretty heavy hitters. Unfortunately, the crash hit, and we lost a ton of real estate, but we built it fast, man. We had probably 20, 30 properties by the time I was 20 at Land Metro Developments, yeah. And then we lost a bunch of them, and then I went into the corporate world. Right. So software. And that's where I learned tech. Right. And tech, if you don't know, like, tech is the biggest kept secret.
And you're going into tech, but I'm noticing the progress of you was on the ground.
Yeah.
You have to have that relationship, that customer service relationship. So you built that up.
Yeah. I learned that real early.
Networking with teammates. Because Rome wasn't built by one person. Surrounded yourself with like-minded individuals.
Yeah.
Set a task ahead, conquered it.
So let me tell you something. The way that I learned CDs was I got sent not to an alternative school, but it was like the middle of an alternative school. I went to one high school, got, and I didn't get kicked out. I got asked to kind of, you know what I'm saying? I resigned.
Don't want to put you in this, but exactly. You gotta go.
But I learned one of the kids in there, I won't name his name, but his dad was heavy in the cartel. Mm. But I learned the how to distribute CDs the same way they used to distribute, right?
Yeah.
But this is above ground. Like, if you can get all that weight through that, and I can do it, and it's a CD, and I don't have to hide it,
yeah,
we're killing it.
Easy.
Oh, man. Like, if you take that same mentality for some of the things that are underground, and that's what we're doing now, and do it with something that's legitimate. Now, right. CDs was iffy, right? Because there was some piracy laws and some other things. But once you learn how to do that and build a force of people that, it's their best and only option, what you're doing with them, you're unstoppable.
And I know you talked about the first entrepreneur, the growth there.
Yeah.
You're learning those trades. You're learning how to use that now in the legal world.
Yeah.
You know, to make money the legal way, to play the real game.
Yeah.
Now you're in tech.
Yeah.
It's tech where it's at.
Man, text where, so
here's, I know Elon Musk in it. You are you building the brain chip as well?
I ain't got the brain chip, but we are building the black chip, right? And we'll talk about the 40-acre plan in a minute. But what I learned in tech, and if you see a lot of these companies, I love bonuses, right? I remember working my first job when I was 15 at Albertsons. I was a courtesy clerk.
Okay.
Right. And it was actually 16 because it was right after we stopped the CD game, but we were selling other products out of the trunk too. And that's how
in the
parking lot, man, they knew where to find me. Like I had a captive audience.
I'm on break, man.
Exactly. Come on. Well, it wasn't even break. Cause you would take the cart out to the car. Now, yeah, let me help this person out. What you need. And all legitimate legal products. We're doing watches and chains and everything. But where was I going with that? I learned that there's multipliers, right? And I used to love bonuses. First thing I learned was there's time that people don't want to work, and you get something called time and a half. You get double time.
Yeah.
You get overtime, right? So there's certain industries that you can go to, same as if you're working a 9-to-5, there's multipliers, there's overtime, there's double time. So tech is actually 10 times. So if you make a dollar in tech, it's actually worth $10. Because if you look at the stock price or something, you look at like Zoom, you look at all of these companies that have gone public here recently, you look at their revenue and you look at what they're selling for, what they got acquired by, and it's like, dude, that's like 20, 30 times. How's that possible? The way that tech and the subscription business is valued, exponential growth. That's like, hey, how Elon Musk, how'd he go up $230 billion, you know, just overnight? How did Amazon, how'd he double his network overnight? Because it's tech. It's valued differently.
Who puts the value on it?
The street, man. The street, the investors.
If it's needed.
If it's needed, man. They love subscription revenue, right? And if you have that.
And that's subscription revenue. That's the OnlyFans that the girls got. Is that what we're talking about? Well, you got to pay something.
The reoccurring. Yeah, the member.
It's going to hit that card if they own it.
Whether you forget about it.
Shit. Fuck, let me go cancel that shit real quick.
Clary Hoogee. Yeah.
But man, what's the tipping point? The
tipping point.
For you as an entrepreneur, and I know you said the collaborations with different individuals and partnering up with, say, I got this, you don't, let's come together and let's make this even bigger. 40 Acres and a Mule, is that also a collaborative effort, or is this a Mr. AT thing?
Yeah, no, so nothing's a Mr. So I learned real quick, if I'm the smartest person in the room, I'm in the wrong room, right? So what we've aim to do. And so I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a little bit of a pain in how we turned it into passion. Coming in, the way we started Money for Your Mission, Inc. is everything we've done is out of pain, right? And we've learned how to turn our obstacles into opportunity. So when I was working, I was big in nonprofit. So we had an African-American nonprofit when I was in college, because the African-American graduation rate where I went to school was less than 6%. So we started a nonprofit called Men of Honor, and we did both campus and community involvement, got a lot of notoriety, a lot of press, but we didn't have a lot of money. So when we graduated, we were looking for grants. I did not know how to get grants, right? It was like mm-hmm. a unicorn. Heard of it, never seen one.
Heard of grant writers,
but never. Exactly.
What they look like.
So I paid somebody to help me, and they stole my money. Wow. Right? So I said, look, there's got to be a better way. There wasn't.
Well, that's a pain right there.
So I started the company, right? And it was Grant Source. And from Grant Source, some of our customers came to us and said, hey, this is great what you're doing, but can you do government contracts? Like, okay, I built a network. Or we're just a database. Can you do full service? And then I'll go figure it out, right? And I built a network of grant writers around the way. And then they said, hey, can you do government contracts? Yeah, right? So we built a network of people that knew how to write proposals for government contracts.
Wow.
And a lot of that, it was noble in the beginning. It just wasn't really profitable, right? And that's where I learned margin. And I'm just giving y'all the game. From there, and over 3 years in that, 4 years in that business, we brought it over to a $1 million business, right? Progressively in that time. And then, right? And that was over 4 years, right? So it came up. Wild story. Last year, I had a customer that we helped get, listen to me. We helped them get 11.
This was just last year, y'all.
This is last year. We helped them get $11.1 million in less than 90 days.
Wow.
Now, the way that we write our agreements, we get 10% of the success fee, right? Dude. And we charge a subscription as well. Now, they got so upset. Now, this guy.
The ones that made the money is now mad that they have the money.
Dog, I got 11.1. So you netting $10 million and you mad about like. They sued me in 38 states to try to curb not paying, right? And I said, I knew that they were going to pay, so we borrowed some money from some other people for cash flow wise. Dude, it almost killed our business. It did. It did kill our business, that part. So what people don't know, and I'll just be 100, during that time, like we had a very good sustainable business. We had a good model, right? We through trial and error and we grew it. We knew it was too manual because we have to deal with people
on a daily basis.
Dude, on a daily basis. And it wasn't tech heavy enough. And that's what some investors said, right? Because we were also raising $1.2 million on a convertible note. And I had to start something different. All my accounts were frozen. It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
At that time, and at that same time, I had ended up, like, there was so much that happened, boom, boom, boom. At that same time, I'll tell you both personally and professionally, I had, do we need to go?
You had some stuff that went on.
Bruh, we had some stuff that went
some
on.
Some pain.
I got my house broken into.
Pain.
My car keyed. I got...
Things are on standstills, and all of this is happening.
Right? Like I'm trying to curve all of this, and once I think I got one situation like good,
another situation, something else.
Duh.
Boom.
And then during I started the 40 acre project, right? And that's a UT thing. I started the 40 acre conference, and I had a bunch of people lined up, celebrities that I had known from Tulsa. Like I met EYL and Hill Harper down in Tulsa. Wow. I had met Maddie J down in Atlanta. I had met a bunch of people that were all coming in Houston for this conference. And then they start talking about the pandemic is flaring back up in December, right? And they start canceling stuff. I'm like, dude, this is my, I need to do this.
Right.
Right? Like, this is my source of income.
Right.
So we still do the conference, and I was at a performance at Ebony Lounge, and that's where I met Lafayette, and he was performing. I'm like, this guy's got it. He's fire. And I said, let's meet up, man. I don't know how to, I don't know what it is. I'm faith-filled, right? And I'm spirit-led. So sometimes I just see things.
You got to have that faith. Dude. But we got to see things, but without the physical eye of
without
seeing.
Without the eye. I said, hey, I don't know. I don't know how to work together. I'm not in entertainment. I'm not in, but I know you. He's like, say less, man. Let's meet tomorrow. So we met the next day. And that's when he had the studio. He had the other, the music studio.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know what? Let me show you this other studio that I'm about to build. And I said, okay, cool. So he took me over here, and I was supposed to go meet another guy from Atlanta, a VIP social, that same day. And I pushed him back, and he showed me this bare bones, nothing here. And then that pandemic hit, and I said, you know what?
That ain't happening, man.
We're gonna partner. We're gonna throw it. And we threw, he said, he's opening in a month. I said, nah, we need a partner before that. He's like, well, all right, let's do it. And we partnered, man, and we did everything. We did the hip hop showcase. We did the fashion show. We did all of our speakers virtually. We did an esports, all right here. In this 4-year-old, we had the city of Houston here. They were doing vaccinations. We cut a bunch of hair for kids from underserved community.
Whoa.
We did it, bro, in 3 days. It was incredible. And we streamed to 30,000 people all over the world. Now, here's the crazy thing, right? Because people were saying, cancel it, do it next year. Here's what people got to understand. You don't have to be
great. This is during the pandemic.
Bro, no, this is 2020. This is this year.
The conference that just passed.
This just happened.
Look at God. Just work. He just right. Be moving.
Because people were saying, cancel it, man. People are going to come and everything. So I get a call. Because one of the Congolese billionaires that was on and spoke, mm-hmm. I get a call from the presidential cabinet in Africa, right? And at first I hung up the phone, right? Because I think it's one of them Nigerian.
It's a spam call. Yeah, send me some money.
Hey, man, come on. Come to Africa. Nah, I'm good, right? They say, hey, we saw your conference. We're trying to bring a bunch of African Americans to Congo for investment purposes, and we see you have this fall and everything. We love what you did. We want to send you a ticket. Hung up the phone the first time. They came back, and I said, look, man, I don't have a passport or anything.
Yeah.
He said, hey, do you want to go? Right? You see the African.
Do you want to go?
Bro, do you want to go? They sent me a passport. I got a passport within 6 hours.
Whoa.
I went down.
I ain't never heard of that in America.
6 hours. I got a presidential visa. I was on a plane within 48 hours. I didn't even know what I signed up for.
You stepped out on faith.
Stepped out on faith, man. And I went it because my back was against the wall.
What else do I got to lose? I ain't got nothing.
I ain't got nothing to lose, right? So I go to Africa, first class, and I'm like, man, I show up there. Police escort, like.
Well, you feeling like goddamn, what's that, Hakeem?
Hakeem, I'm telling you.
Did they throw the roses down and stuff on your way in the palace?
No. That's real. And I went there and he said, look, the guy that told me to go, he said, look, I want you to understand this about Africa. Everybody is scared. They said the Congo is dangerous, and it is. Mm-hmm. But once you get there, what you will see is they don't want you to go. Because this is where billionaires are made. And I'm going to take you, once you get in this lobby, you're going to see the people that own everything are not African American. You're going to see Chinese people. You're going to see Europeans. And when I stepped in that lobby, me and him were the only two black people.
Wow.
And this is like the 5-star hotel, what they do. And he's like, what they do, they go, they have a nice lavish time here. Then they go and show you the worst part and say, oh, you never want to come here, because they're making millions
right here.
Billions. Congo is the richest country in the world when it comes to natural resources, gold, diamonds, coltan. So they take me around the country. They say, we're going to have dinner with the president, right? At the Black House, right? The equivalent of the White House. I am sitting, there's 30 people at this dinner. I'm sitting with the president, with the prime minister, with the minister of commerce, with the minister of finance, with the minister of defense.
Whoa.
And I'm looking like, who do they think I am, bro? How'd I get here?
But when you know who you are,
bro,
and when it's on your life, man, no matter what the enemy throws at you and tries to take away, it's elevation. He say, you know, I'm going to put you in the room with king and queens, and you were there to make that difference for them.
And they said, hey, we see you got this. Come through. Bring a following. We're going to do this again at the end of June. Bring back 200 people with you. We'll pay for it. We'll set up an investment. You need land? We'll give you land.
Wow.
We just need investment here. And I'm like, how did I get here, bro?
You had the faith,
bro. So then, right, I told you about my situation. So right when I think I got one situation handled, another situation comes up.
It's come springing up.
I'm like, dude, I need to get some more bread, right? Because I had just, my accounts are and everything are frozen from this other business, right? I had thrown in probably $250,000 of my own money from that. So like, I'm like, I need to build my stock up.
Yeah, I got to get it back. I got to see some back.
So I'm like, okay, you know what? Let me go back. I'm going to go back into corporate, right? And I'm a help somebody build out their platform with the understanding, and I'm going to be 100. I got my own platform to do. Now, most people will say, dude, you're going to ask on an interview. You're going to tell them you'll run them if they'll help you in your platform. That'll never happen, right? How are you even going to request that? How does that conversation even start?
So wait a minute.
I wrote it on my vision board.
You go to a company.
I go to a company.
Not seeking employment,
yeah,
but to say, I want to help you and you help me.
Correct. And somebody took the offer. I went to four companies and I said, look, I love what you guys are doing. I know how to generate revenue, right? And I went to a few companies and I got three offers and I accepted one from a Fortune 100 company from Salesforce. And they said, hey, we love what you're doing entrepreneurship wise. If you need help building that out, that's what they said to me first. We love what you're doing. I spent about an hour on your LinkedIn page, right? And at this point, I'm on the third interview and I'm in the Dominican Republic. If you need help building this out, man, we'll help you build it out. We know that you know how to generate. If you can do that with your own company with no resources, or little to no resources, if we throw $1 billion of resources, right? We have all these engineers run U.S. sales for us for emerging markets, right? Because you just did it,
and we'll
help
you.
Yeah, and we'll help you build out yours. And I was like, bet. And I was in my head like, dude, I was just praying for this, and somebody took it. So I got the offer.
Write the vision, make it plain, y'all.
I got the offer. When I came back. I came back to pick up my daughter, right? And my ex-wife was giving me the runaround. And I said, hey, I need to pick up my daughter. Well, she's camping. What do you mean she's camping? Where's she camping? I'll go pick her up. Well, it's far. It's in Austin. I'll go to Austin, right? She gives me the runaround. Won't let me talk to my daughter. Won't for like 2 days. I start going crazy, man, because I pick up my daughter every 3 days. She starts a custody battle with me because she thinks I'm in a bad situation financially. Now, I'm not doing this. I'm not a...
People are seeing with their physical eyes,
yeah,
not knowing what's going on in that spirit realm and what's working.
So that's what I'm saying. And so by no means, and I'm about to, we're starting a platform called the Million Dollar, I Am a Million Dollar Dad. But I'm going to tell you this. This is not to bash anybody, right? I'm never gonna say it's more than that. Yeah, it's an enemy. 10 minutes?
10 seconds.
Oh.
But we're going to come right back.
Is that going too far on that? All right, so here's the thing.
It's an enemy at stake.
It's the enemy.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness and principalities of darkness in high places.
Come on. So anytime, you got to know what you're fighting. And it's not, that's just the enemy getting a hold of a physical form,
mm-hmm.
right? So my daughter's not being given to me. I'm trying to keep it together and write out this plan.
You out of routine.
It's throwing me, man, my head's messed up, right? I don't see my daughter. I go through, CPS gets called on me, mm-hmm. right? Say, oh, he's crazy. He's dude, the craziest CPS report you've ever seen.
So dirt on your name.
Bro. Oh, he's, you know, he pointed a daughter, shotgun at his daughter. He's a drug dealer. He's been dealing drugs with his daughter. He has mold in his house. He has, bro, whatever you can think of. We call it the kitchen sink, right? Let's just throw the kitchen sink, everything in there, and something's going to stick. I get the police, Easter, I get the police called on me, right? Even before that, I go to pick up my daughter one day, and they say, oh, well, the medical professional said he's not fit to to pick up his daughter. I'm like, no medical professionals have even seen me. How can they diagnose somebody? So I call the police so I can pick up my daughter. I am so heated. My blood is boiling. I have not slept. My blood is boiling. And I'm only telling you this story, not to throw shade, but there's other people that are dealing with this that I want to help through this, right? I call the police to give me my daughter. They give me my daughter. And my ex-wife's husband comes out and tries to pull my daughter out my car and says, you don't have to go with your dad. Now, at that point, and this is where you start to lose your mind, and this is where I want to help people not go to prison, right? Because at that point, I saw the whole thing. I played sports, right? So you see plays happening in your head before they even happen, right? You play mm-hmm. basketball, you see you're going to drive to the zone, pump fake, throw it to the weak side, you got an alley-oop, right? So you know that. You read the deep, and you can see it happening. I had a bottle of Topo Chico. I was about to do an event, and I had a whole case. I was going to take that Topo Chico. I saw the whole thing playing, and I'm like, God, I reached out for the handle and said, God, please help me. And a cop came out and said, look, you need to relax. And he said, you don't have to go with your daddy. You don't have to go with your dad. And he said, look, you don't sit down, I'm gonna fucking arrest you. That's what the cop told him. And I'm like, man, thank you so much. Because
could have went left. Dog, you could have been in a whole different scenario. Dog,
I was gonna go all out. And before that, when they were holding my daughter hostage, at one point, and my mama talked me through this. I was going to go over there and I was either going to come out with my daughter or I wasn't going to come out. And I was okay with that. Right? Think about that. That's how I felt. And I had the resources and the equipment to make that happen. So, but that's the enemy. That's what they distract you from your purpose, man.
How is that relationship now with baby girl?
Oh, well, my baby girl, it's great, man. We're not through it. I'm still going through this right now. But
are you dealing with it now?
I'm using the platform, because if I didn't have my circle, if I didn't have, you talk about the partnerships, the relationships, to say, hey, forget all that. That's the spirit. You are on the verge of something great.
Yeah.
And the enemy is trying to take that away from you.
Yeah.
It's not about your ex-wife. It's not about you. Right? It's not about any of that. And she teams, so I'll take you back. And she teams up with, I won't name any names, the person that broke into my house and keyed my car.
Boy, them teammates will switch sides like bruh, that.
Bruh.
And boom, anything bruh, to try to get it down.
Bruh.
But you keep going.
No, you got to keep going. And you can't let, for lack of a better word, you can't let the fuck shit fuck with your head.
Yeah.
Because what it's about is you being in line with your purpose. This is my platform, man.
Yeah.
So with the 40 Acre Conference, bringing people that were formerly incarcerated, kids from young HBCUs, young veterans. We built a platform that's worldwide. And the enemy's trying to stop that. And then with using that same platform, our company's Money for Your Mission, we're launching the platform, I Am a Million Dollar Dad, that talks about mindset, that talks about faith, that gives you a network of resources, a platform, man, to help you through this. Because if I didn't have my circle, dude, I'd be doing a 3-9 right now.
Thank God.
100%.
Yeah, because those four quadrants are important, and a lot of, and I guess now it's so prevalent in Instagram, instant, and face, and they just want to see right now the physical.
Bro. This ain't a movie. This ain't a movie, bro.
The emotional side of it, the mental side of it, as well as the spiritual side of it. And if we don't have that spirit right, we're bound to make moves off of emotions, which affect our mental, which then affects our physical. And again, like you say, before it manifests in the physical, it starts somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And when we understand the real battle that's at hand, and I know you do,
yeah,
don't let that fuck shit get to you.
No, you can't. You can't, man.
You keep going. What's the purpose of 40 Acres?
Cash flow, community, culture.
Cash flow.
Community.
Community.
And culture.
And culture.
Yeah. So what we're doing is our goal is to continue to help minorities get what they deserve. Right? Not asking for it from anybody else. Mm-hmm. Because we heard what happened with 40 Acres and Emil, right? It was promised, it wasn't given. But then there was entrepreneurs that were on Black Wall Street that said, look, we're not going to get that, and we're going to make it ourselves. And they built a community, they built cash flow, they built culture, and they built one of the most thriving Black communities ever. Now, that didn't end because of...
them bombing it.
Yeah, them bombing it. Man, I went down there from the centennial and they still haven't recovered, right? 100 years later. But the good thing is we can turn that obstacle into opportunity. And that's what we want to do right now, right? We have celebrities, government officials.
I was going to say, is that you're branching out to many people that has effective roles in position.
Well, here's the thing, and why we called it, and it is to get people's attention. There's over $100 billion that is committed to the Black community. Right. And if there's not a platform to keep these companies accountable to actually disperse that, it's going to disappear just like 40 Acres and a Mule. So we're just going to take money that's already there, that's already committed. And bro, I'm on both sides now. I'm back in the corporate and they're saying, hey, we have this much money. We're going to help you help us. Right. And there's many other companies that are like that, that have matching programs that can help some of these young brothers coming out, some of these young sisters coming out. That may not have an opportunity, and we can turn it around right away with this platform, and people will be what they see. So to give you an example, MLK, we had 100 speakers, 20 panels, anything from real estate, from stocks to Toro, to short-term rentals, to learning anything in the game you want to learn. Yeah,
man, that's the key.
Right? Y'all. But from people that look like you. And there's somebody on that panel that has made $1 million doing that. So you know that they're doing it. So our goal is to continue to push that forward and to do it worldwide. We're going back to Africa and we're putting a deal together to buy a diamond mine. And people can, you know, invest in that. We're going to make sure it's legit first. We're going to put our own money in first. But there's a lot of money. People don't realize King Maximusa, right?
Richest
in the world, right? The King of Mali. Now, and that whole empire, because he controlled the resources, right? Currency will go up and down. But when you control resources, and we have things with tech, and you understand blockchain, and that's what this whole platform is, tracking everything through blockchain, we can become unstoppable.
Mr. Alan Thornton, the goal in life, you say, is to make the world a better place.
Absolutely. Well, it's to leave the world better than what we made it, and to truly create an impact. Because so many people are afraid to put themselves out there to actually fulfill the purpose that they came on this earth, because it's not comfortable. People are going to come for you. They're going to come for you hard, right? We're living it right now. But once you do that, God's going to protect you because that's the purpose that you were put on this earth to fulfill.
Alan Thornton, thank you, man.
Much love.
Thank you for stopping in.
No doubt.
It's your boy DJ Tony Tone again. Alan Thornton, let them know where they can find you on all social media platforms.
Man, you can find me. It's about to change. It's A Game 1986, but it's about to change to the affirmation. I am a million dollar dad.
I am a million dollar dad.
Whatever you say afterwards, I am, you eventually become. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on LinkedIn. I do a lot of business things there. Just at Alan Thornton, at Alan Thornton on Facebook, on Twitter, same at Alan Thornton, and on all platforms at 40 Acre Conference. It's been a pleasure, bro.
Hey, it's my pleasure here. Again, DJ Tony Tone, Exclusive Talk Radio, is the greatest radio station in Houston, Texas, and I'm going to claim it right there. Alan Thornton, y'all make sure y'all follow him on all social media platforms as well. Follow us on not just YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and all social at Exclusive Talk Radio. Yo.
Much love.
Exclusive.